AOPA vows to fight DOT plans to expand congestion pricing. United blames weather for a quarterly loss, but analysts blame labor issues. And we now know who the victims were in Sunday's California midair. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, January 23rd, 2008. The Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has come out against the U.S. Department of Transportation's January 14th proposal to widen the role of landing fees at busy airports. The DOT issued a notice of proposed rulemaking reaffirming the rights of affected airports to charge two-part landing fees, one part based on aircraft weight, the other based on time of day. The proposal would encourage airports to use the fees for two main purposes: to create incentives for airlines to fly bigger planes and schedule them at off-peak times, and to expand the role of landing fees in funding airport improvements. AOPA President Phil Boyer is concerned that airports will structure the fees in a manner which discriminates against general aviation aircraft. Quote, "Whether through fees or slot restrictions, airlines and general aviation must be treated reasonably and fairly, and AOPA will do whatever it takes to ensure that principle of law is upheld," unquote. Boyer is also annoyed that DOT first claimed to accept, then went against, the guidance of industry representatives it convened in a special New York Aviation Rulemaking Committee in December. Quote, "They want to impose market-based controls whether or not the industry thinks congestion pricing would be an appropriate way to reduce delays," unquote. United Airlines parent UAL blamed severe winter weather over the holidays and high fuel prices for a loss of $53 million, or 47 cents per share, in 2007's fourth quarter. Some analysts insisted labor issues also played a role, with pilots staging a work-to-rule action in November and December. The loss was a lot less than expected. USA Today reported a survey conducted by Thomson Financial predicted a loss of 89 cents per share. It's also less than the $61 million United lost during the same period in 2006. UAL did see a profit for the year of $403 million in 2007. It's the airline's first full-year profit since 2000. In a message to employees, United CEO Glenn Tilton said the airline made real progress in 2007, citing an operating profit of about $1 billion for the year. The airline plans to distribute $250 million to shareholders today, much to the chagrin of labor unions. We now know the names of four people killed in Sunday's mid-air collision of two single-engine Cessnas near Corona Municipal Airport in Southern California, and the name of a fifth victim on the ground. Media reports identify the victims on board the two aircraft as 55-year-old Scott Gale Lawrence and 73-year-old Paul Luther Carlson, both of Cerritos, 20-year-old Anthony Joel Guzman of Hesperia, and 24-year-old Brandon William Johnson of Costa Mesa. The coroner has not said which of the deceased were in the Cessna 172 and who was in the 150. 58-year-old Earl Smitty was the lone fatality on the ground, killed when a piece of falling debris from the accident came through the roof of Corona Chevrolet. FAA spokesman Ian Greger told KTTV News, "Investigators will have to rely heavily on witness statements and the physical wreckage to determine what happened. Neither plane was apparently in contact with air traffic control. That's understandable since Corona Municipal has no control tower." When Vought Aircraft scored an important contract in 2005 to build cabin sections for Sikorsky's Black Hawk helicopters, the company thought the deal would amount to a financial windfall for its plant in Grand Prairie, Texas. Well, it hasn't worked out that way. Vought CEO Elmer Doty tells the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, quote, "Black Hawk has been a lot more challenging a startup than anybody thought," unquote. That may be something of an understatement. In 2.5 years since winning the contract, Vought has struggled with quality and production issues. In 2006, the company only delivered about 24 cabins. In 2007, that was up to 53, but many of those were delivered late. Under its $600 million contract with Sikorsky, Vought is to deliver at least 355 cabins for the U.S. Army and Navy, which use different configurations. The company also has separate contracts to build cabins for older UH-60L models for sale to foreign governments. This year, Vought says it expects to deliver over 70 cabins and over 80 in 2009. That would bring its production rate roughly in line with the contract terms. Once Vought proves it's capable of meeting Sikorsky's expectations, the company could earn even more work. Among its challenges, Vought, like many other aerospace companies, is finding it hard to recruit enough qualified workers. Up next on ANN, Cessna names Mark Withrow to manage its newly acquired Oregon plant. American Airlines will test onboard wireless broadband internet service. And the FAA says the airport at Taos, New Mexico, is too small for airline service. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR-22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine four-seat airplane. Today, the SR-22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com. Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. For instance, the noise-canceling microphone used in the Clarity Aloft headset is a high-fidelity, noise-canceling electret condenser microphone with performance optimized for speech frequencies in extremely high-noise environments. Stage performers and musicians use this same microphone because they must insist on the highest level of sound reproduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for January 23rd, 2008. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Cessna Aircraft Company has named Mark Withrow to be general manager of its new Bend, Oregon facility, effective February 4th. Withrow will be based in Bend and report to Rod Holter, Cessna Vice President for Single Engine Operations. Cessna acquired the former Columbia production facility in November. The 350 and 400 models will continue to be produced there with Cessna nameplates. Withrow will be charged with integrating the new facility into Cessna's production processes and expanding production to meet expected demand. Withrow spent the past year with Cessna as Senior Product Director for Citation CJ production. He also spent 18 months as General Manager of Cessna's production facility in Mexico. The native of Melbourne, Florida, will relocate to Bend with his family. Air France may be the first airline to allow passengers to use cell phones in flight, but it looks like American Airlines will be the first to give us in-flight Wi-Fi. American tells the Dallas Morning News it has installed the AirCell LLC wireless internet system on 15 planes. Starting in June, users will be able to access secured corporate sites, shop online, and even download entertainment. In contrast to Boeing's connection system, which weighed half a ton, used a surfboard-sized antenna to link with satellites, and was only ever used by a handful of flyers, AirCell's equipment weighs about 125 pounds per plane, costs about $100,000, and uses two small antennas on the belly of the plane to communicate through ground-based infrastructure. Surveys by Forrester Research indicate 45% of leisure travelers would be willing to pay for internet access during flights of 4 hours or more, and 24% said they'd buy it even on flights as short as 1 to 2 hours. Demand among business travelers is expected to be even higher. Virgin America also plans to install the AirCell system in 2008. Bombardier announced on Tuesday that the Learjet 85, formerly known as the Learjet NXT, will be built by Grobe Aerospace in Germany, starting with three prototypes. The Learjet 85 will be the first Bombardier jet to feature an all-composite structure and will be the first all-composite structure business jet designed for type certification under FAR Part 25. Pierre-Gabriel Côté, President, Bombardier Business Aircraft, explained the choice of Grobe. Quote, Grobe Aerospace is one of the world's most experienced companies in the development and manufacture of composite aircraft structures. We're delighted to welcome their participation on this latest Learjet-designed aircraft. Unquote. Bombardier says the clean-sheet Learjet 85 targets a high-speed cruise of Mach 0.82 and a transcontinental range of up to 3,000 nautical miles. The Learjet 85 is designed to provide 8 passengers a stand-up cabin built for productivity and comfort. Taos, New Mexico is a small town of about 5,200 people, but it's big enough to have an airline interested in providing scheduled service. It wouldn't be the first time. Westward Airways and Rio Grande Airlines both served Taos in years past. Both of those carriers are now out of business. New Mexico Airlines recently approached the town about flying in with single-engine Cessna Caravans, but it can't. The FAA says the airport is not adequate for planes having more than 9 seats but fewer than 31. New Mexico Airlines single-engine caravans carry only 9 seats during New Mexico flights, but they can hold up to 14, and that's the sticking point. New Mexico Airlines CEO Greg Kahlstorf calls it surprising. He told the Associated Press, quote, "I've never had the FAA reject an airport," unquote. Mark Fratrick, manager of the Taos Airport, says he doesn't consider the lack of air service a hardship, just an inconvenience. Still, Kahlstorf said his airline has asked the FAA to reconsider its decision. That's a request the agency is not bound to honor. Still ahead, Taiwan's China Airlines places an order with Airbus. So does TAM in Brazil. And Ballistic Recovery Systems claims its 208th save. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, January 23rd, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. China Airlines, Taiwan's largest carrier, has signed a contract with Airbus for the purchase of 14 A350-900 airliners and has taken another 6 on option. Airbus says the new generation medium-capacity long-haul aircraft is part of the airline's future fleet modernization program. China Airlines intends to start using the A350-XWB in 2015. It'll be powered by Rolls-Royce Trent XWB engines. The planes will be fitted with a 327-seat layout. The A350 will be deployed mainly on the airline's long-haul routes to Europe, Australia, and the United States, enabling China Airlines to offer non-stop service. Brazilian carrier TAM Linhas Aéreas announced on Monday it has firmed up its order for 22 A350-XWBs, including models 800 and 900, to be delivered from 2013 onward. TAM is Airbus's biggest customer in the Southern Hemisphere, now has the largest A350 fleet in the region on order, and will be the first in Latin America to put the 350 into service. TAM also confirmed on Monday the acquisition of 4 A330-200s, with deliveries from 2010 onward, as well as 20 more aircraft from the A320 family. The A320s are in addition to the firm order signed in 2005 and 2006 for those same models. According to the price list, the total value of the 46 aircraft ordered would be about $6.9 billion U.S. A pilot experiencing a probable control surface failure deployed a Ballistic Recovery Systems whole aircraft parachute January 5th over Laurel, Maryland. The aircraft and passenger returned safely to the Earth, becoming the 208th documented life saved by a BRS emergency parachute system. Pilot Patrick Dean had just finished building his Slipstream Genesis. That's a fabric and fiberglass two-seater. His wife had asked him to include a BRS chute in the plane. Quote, "The aircraft rolled over on its back and headed straight down. The BRS system absolutely, positively saved my life. There is nothing else that could have slowed me down enough to have kept me from hitting the ground at terminal velocity," unquote. Dean deployed the chute just a few hundred feet above the ground. The aircraft landed in trees, and Dean was helped from the cockpit by witnesses. He suffered a cut on his nose and minor bumps and bruises. Dean says his wife is encouraging him to continue flying, but only with a BRS parachute. And finally, Gracie May is described as a shy, 10-month-old tabby cat. She's owned by Kelly and Seth Levy of Palm Beach Gardens, Florida. Gracie May apparently spooks easily and tends to run and hide when startled. Well, something must have startled Gracie while Seth was packing for a recent business trip because, unnoticed by the couple, she hid in Seth's big black check bag just before he closed it up and left for Dallas. The South Florida Sun-Sentinel reports Kelly noticed her cat was missing, looked in the usual hiding places, then hung posters in the neighborhood. Then she got a remarkable phone call from Fort Worth, Texas. As Kelly recalls it, the man said, quote, "Hi, you're not going to believe this, but I accidentally picked up your husband's luggage, and when I opened the luggage, a cat jumped out," unquote. The man, who has not identified himself, not only bought Gracie an $80 flight back to Florida, but paid for a cab from the airport to bring the cat home. Kelly Levy is thrilled that her kitty is back and apparently okay. You see, Gracie May had just been spayed and was still in stitches when she was zipped into the dark suitcase, thrown into a car trunk, subjected to an X-ray scan, and whatever other unspeakable things happened to your luggage at the airport. Gee, I wonder why Gracie May is shy around people. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, in my continued conversation with Bob Poole of the Reason Foundation, Bob tells us why he believes Bobby Sturgill may never be confirmed as FAA administrator. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.